Poorly Read.
Hello everyone, welcome to Poorly Read. This is episode 13, where we're going to talk about Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, wait, is it episode 13? I think episode 13 might have been the movie episode.
No.
We
just recorded episode 12.
Yeah, and so episode 13 is going to be the Chamber of Secrets movie episode that we haven't recorded yet.
Oh, yeah, you're so right.
So this is episode 14.
Yeah, lucky 14.
Yeah. And we're making a start on the Purple Book.
Yeah. The Purple Book.
Purple Book.
Purple Book.
Yeah, you went like full gospel then.
Would Tom have said that if I was white?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, so what has happened since the last episode? I guess nothing really.
Well, like in between books.
Yeah, what has Harry done apart from try his best not to fucking drown himself in the bath?
I mean, God, that must be a daily struggle.
This kid has so much like mental fortitude.
I know.
Like, in a way, it's not unbelievable that he triumphed in the end. Because if anyone could have, it was going to be Harry.
Yeah.
I feel like if Neville was in this sitch, he would have fucking ended it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, God. His grandmother would have just fucking driven him to suicide.
And Harry's only sort of emotional response, really, is to get, like, angry and defensive rather than to, like, break down and become despondent.
Yeah, maybe that's the key.
Yeah.
Instead of breaking down, you just need to get angry and defensive.
Yeah. More anger, more defensiveness.
Yeah.
Is what we need.
For you and for me. And the entire human race. chapter one.
It's called Owl Post.
And I was like,
our favourite type of post.
I did think, though, if she was going to reuse a chapter title, then every first chapter of the books should be called Owl Post. So it was like a thing.
But there's no Owl Post in chapter one of other books. Well, I say that, I can't
remember now. No, not
chapter
now,
but...
one, but there is, Owl Post is used as a chapter title for other books.
Is it?
Yeah, it's used in book one, I believe.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I 100%, and I say this a lot, but I 100% know we've said Owl Post as a chapter title doing this.
Probably referencing this. There is
no, I didn't know that this was called Owl Post until, I promise you, this isn't the only chapter to be called Owl Post. It's either in Philosopher's Stone or in a Chamber of Secrets.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it fucking isn't.
All right, have you got all the past notes?
Yeah.
Okay, go back through every single one right now.
Wait, Harry Potter chapters.
Do, 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 do.
Okay, The Boy Who Lived, Vanishing Glass, Letters from No One. That might be what you're thinking of.
I don't think it was.
Keeper of the Keys, Diagon Alley, Journey from Platform 9 and 3 Quarters, The Sorting Hat, The Potions Master, The Midnight Jewel, Halloween, Quidditch, Mirror of Erised, Nicholas Flamel, Norbert the Norwegian Risback, Forbidden Forest, Through the Trap Door, The Man with Two Faces.
Okay, and what about Chamber?
Chamber of Secrets, The Worst Birthday, Dobby's Warning, The Burrow, At Flourish and Blots, The Whomping Willow, Gilderoy Lockhart, Mudbloods and Murmurs, The Death Day Party, The Writing on the Wall, The Rogue Bludger, The Dueling Club, Polyjuice Potion, The Very Secret Diary, Cornelius Fudge, Aragog, Chamber of Secrets, Aerys Slytherin, Dobby's Reward.
Wow, I was so sure as well.
I know.
I should not place bets on things.
There's another, the last chapter in this book is called Owl Post Again.
Oh, that's probably on the train where he gets a pigwidgeon.
Ugh, what a stupid name for an owl.
All the owl names are fucking stupid.
Apart from Percy calls his owl Hermes, which I quite like.
Yeah, that is nice.
I really thought you were going to hate it. I really thought I was going to say I like the name Hermes and you were going to be like, oh, it's the worst.
No, I really I love all those sort of like Greek names.
Good. Well, glad we agree.
It would have been better if all the owls had Greek names, I think.
Yeah, Hedwig is named after some...
Is it Ludwig Hedwig? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
I was thinking about this on the toilet this morning, and I was like, is that where it's from?
Well, I'm glad we know where you were thinking about it.
But I was thinking, like, why would you call it Hedwig? And well, what other, like, kooky, like, body part hair owl names can we think of? I was like, Fanny Merkin. Areola Straggler.
Well, isn't Hedwig after some famous witch or wizard or something that he read about in one of his books before the first year?
Is it? Should we quickly Google this? Oh, yeah, right. So Harry finds the name Hedwig in his History of Magic text.
There you go.
That's weird. Why wouldn't you name it after something else that, like, if that was my first, like, pet, I would name it after something that had brought me, like, endless joy in the past.
Has anything brought you endless joy in the past? In childhood at some point, maybe?
Yeah. If I was, like, 11, I'd probably name it after a Pokemon, to be fair.
Yeah.
Although my cats in real life are actually called Sirius and Luna.
I didn't even know that.
Really? Yeah. Sirius is my black oriental short hair and Luna is my like blonde Siamese cat. If I ever get any dogs, I will be naming them Lupin and Tonks.
Nice.
I fucking hate Tonks. I hate Tonks in the movies. Maybe book Tonks is okay. Movie Tonks is just the worst. I hate her so much. Even if she was like, guys, can I come on your podcast? I'd be like, no, fuck off.
Really? Yeah. I quite like the actress, but she's also in Game of Thrones and she's good in Game of Thrones.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've not watched Game of Thrones. I have seen her like interviewed.
She's also in About a Boy.
Yeah, that's where I first started hating her.
Yeah.
But if you are listening to this, whatever your name is, keep on.
So, I mean, Gifton hates a lot of people.
I do. I'm just a hateful person. What can I say?
Yeah.
But hey, you can't
I think you're a very talented actress.
Tom's your number one fan.
I mean, I don't know your name either, but.
Should we invent a name for her? Let's call her Heliothorpe Buffins.
That might be the greatest name I have ever heard in my life.
Oh god.
If I ever get a pet, which is a slim chance, but if I ever get a pet, I'm gonna call it that.
Please do. That'd be so awesome.
I have to convince Felicity, but
anyway, so chapter one, outpost.
Yep.
I guess just because we say outpost so much that I just thought it was a thing.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, what can you say, eh?
What?
She should have just left him as just chapter one, and that's it.
I like chapter names.
I don't know. I guess so. I guess it like sort of like gives you like a tease of what's coming in the chapter,
yeah.
Right? And the American books have like illustrations above the chapter titles as well.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
The American books are just so much fucking better. They've also got like a sentence in Half-Blood Prince that was removed from the British print. It's when Dumbledore's on the tower and Draco's like, I'm gonna kill you or whatever, and then Dumbledore says what he says in British,
like, Professor Dumbledore, I'm gonna kill you or whatever.
Well, I'd like to experience the whatever part, yeah. First. clamps. But he says whatever he says, and then this sentence is removed from the British one. He says, however, you can't kill someone who's already dead or already dying. And it was left in the American one, but they removed it from the British one and sort of gives a lot away. But then I guess if you don't know what you're looking for, if you only know that in hindsight, though.
What, that he's already...
That he's dying.
Yeah.
So maybe at the time you would have been like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, I can't remember in it. Why is he dying?
Oh, he put on Gaunt's ring and it was cursed.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to use the, what's it called? The stone.
Just the resurrection
stone. That's it, yeah. He wanted to use that to bring back Ariana.
Oh.
But he put it on and Voldemort had cursed it. So he, the death curse, whatever it was, the killie draft, just filled up his arm.
Oh, I thought he got that weird old decrepit hand from destroying the ring. Well, that's sort of what he implies.
And then he destroyed the ring afterwards.
Mm.
And then Snape was like, I can contain it in your hand, but it will eventually spread. This is really powerful dark magic. And Dumbledore's like, how long have I got left? And he's like, maybe a year. Dumbledore's like, hmm.
Oh, I do remember that bit, yeah.
Yeah, again, he should have just fucking told McGonagall all of this.
Yeah.
We'll really get to this in Half-Blood Prince. That is Dumbledore's most douchey fucking book. Just so he could have jeopardised everything by just being a secretive cunt. Ugh! So, right, he's dead now. Right, so
anyway,
outpost.
Chapter one, outpost.
Harry's doing homework in his room.
Yeah, Harry's doing homework in his room.
He's reading about...
witch burning.
Yeah. I thought this is odd, right? Because they say, like, any real witch or wizard who was caught would have been completely unaffected. They would have performed a simple flame-freezing charm and escaped unharmed.
Yeah.
And they mention, what's that witch's name who used to do it routinely?
The one who did it, like, 30 times,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, she loved, like, the tickling sensation. And I did think, like, Yeah, but surely if you'd been captured, you wouldn't have had your wand on you. Like, that would have been removed from your, like, your person.
You'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did think that was a bit odd.
Is there any precedent for people casting spells without wands?
There is. So the African magic schools don't use wands at all.
Mm.
They just use, like, their hands to perform magic. And other schools sort of think that's, like, they disagree with it because... But it's because they think it's an unfair advantage.
Which it kind of is, I guess. It's an advantage, whether it's unfair or not.
Yeah, exactly. They've just taken the time to develop a natural skill instead of sort of... I imagine it's easier just to channel something through something. So it probably takes more time to develop it. But it's definitely a lot better. I think Native American magic school, they can shapeshift as well. Like Animagus, but it's not that. It's like a different process where it's called something different. I think,
like, what Tonks can do.
No, not like that. There's a really amazing article on Pottermore that talks about all the different magic schools and what their sort of like, what like their deal is. It's really, really interesting, actually.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that might be a bonus episode we do at some point, talking about the different magic schools and stuff.
All right,
because there's one. The American one is called Ilvermorny, and that the story for that is really good as well.
Cool.
Yeah. So, anyway, this has been poorly read.
Yeah. Well, that's way beyond my knowledge of Harry Potter lore, but yeah, that's cool. We'll do that at some point.
So, yeah. I also thought, why is he doing homework over the summer? It's weird that they get homework over the summer, because that's not a thing in England.
I feel like I guess we'll check when we watch the film, but I feel like in the film, doesn't he have his wand...
Yeah, he's doing Lumos.
Yeah.
He's going, and he's like learning the spell. He's going like Lumos, and like on the page it has like the spell to do it.
Has he not already done it by that point?
I think he must have, right? But apparently not. And I don't really know if we see him do it in Chamber of Secrets.
No, well, Hermione does the Lumos Solem.
In the movie, though.
Which is only in the movie, yeah. But then him learning Lumos is also in the movie.
No, but the first movie came out post book four.
So?
Yeah, so the book, so he would have already started doing Lumos, because he does it in this chapter, not in this chapter, in the next chapter.
Yeah.
So maybe, say if that was the first time he'd used it, then it would have obviously been using book four as well, so they would have maybe just slotted it in.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, it's weird that he would only just be learning the basic version of the spell now, if Hermione has been using an advanced version since their first year.
Oh yeah, but I think that's just something they just didn't think about.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't fucking think, did they?
No! Yeah. No, Tom! Everything's done so well! that is odd. It's such a basic spell.
Yeah.
So, guys, you can do red sparks, but I don't want you lighting things up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And also, I mean, obviously, we've addressed it, but the whole underage wizardry thing.
Yeah, that's a real... Because she's really tight about things being put in the movies that are sort of not possible.
Yeah.
Like, Alfonso Cuarón wanted to, in the mouths of the bullfrogs in the choir in Prisoner of Azkaban, he wanted to have a zoom in, and there'd be like a little like elf orchestra playing in the bullfrog's mouth. And she was like, no, because that's not a thing. So you can't have that.
Yeah.
So it's weird that they let him do magic though.
Yeah, because in the book at this point, he has a lamp or a candle or something, doesn't he?
I think it better be a fucking lamp.
Well, yeah, he can't have a candle under the covers. That's ridiculous.
It would get so hot.
Yeah. super hot, like, as in on fire.
Well, I like it when it burns. Yeah. And Vernon just breaks in, and Harry's just sitting there with, like, fucking a gleeful smile on his face. Like, fire's pretty. The fire's happy now. Yeah, so he's doing his homework.
And he realises that he's been 13 for a whole hour.
Oh, that's kind of sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Double digits, but he's been double digits since he was 10. But he's finally a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just has that massive transformation, like Harry Enfield.
Yeah, as Kevin, yeah.
I would love Harry to be, like, the moodiest teenager ever.
I mean, he sort of is.
He kind of is. Fucking book five Harry's the worst.
Yeah. Also, it says that he's been putting up with the Dursleys and their bullshit and whatever for 5 weeks, and it's still July. They must break up from school really early.
That's weird, yeah.
So, yeah, Harry's doing homework under the covers, realises it's his birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just doing my homework.
Yeah.
Oh, I glued the pages together.
He sees out of the window, as he's just sort of gazing reflectively on his life, Yeah, because he has a moment of reflection about how lucky he is to have even reached his 13th birthday.
Yeah, for real. And not because of the stuff that happened at Hogwarts, but because of how fucking malnutritioned he was at home.
Yeah.
No. All we could think was, Neville never could have withstood this.
No.
She does, like, the recap of what's happened.
Yeah, there's the whole previously on Harry Potter section.
Which is the last time this happens.
Yeah.
Thankfully. And it wasn't as annoying as I thought it was going to be. It was actually, she worded it in a way that it was actually quite nice just to have that.
And it was all quite concise and over with fairly quickly.
And then he talks about how Ron called over the summer.
Yeah. And like screams down the phone at Vernon. It's like, hello? I want to talk to Harry Potter.
Hello? Yeah, I'm in the post office.
Yeah.
No, it's crap.
Wow, just like 90s TV reference there.
Oh god. And Vernon's like, yeah, because Ron says, yeah, it's his friend from school.
Yeah.
And Vernon loses his shit. He's like, no, there's no Harry here. If you ever call here again, I'm gonna call the police or whatever.
Yeah, throws the receiver down like a poisonous spider.
All I can think is that what if Vernon wasn't mad that he was a wizard but mad because he thought a deaf kid was calling his house?
How dare you give my number to one of them?
How dare you bring your disease to my front door? Me and my family have perfect auditory abilities. Thank you very much.
He just throws the telephone on the fire.
Yeah, so, and I think he says Hermione would, that Ron had probably told Hermione what had happened, and that's why she hadn't called.
Yeah, which is a shame, because Hermione would know perfectly well how to use the telephone.
But then I feel like it would have been the same thing, because as if they're going to allow Harry to talk to his friends, they know his only friends would be from Hogwarts.
Yeah, it would have gone down the same, really, wouldn't it? Yeah, unless Harry happened to answer the phone, but they probably wouldn't want Harry answering the phone anyway.
Yeah, I sort of imagine that he's, like, forbidden from doing that.
Yeah.
So, oh, this is so sad. I mean, I wish that mobile phones had been, like, a proper thing at that point, you know?
Yeah.
Because you could have just had, like, a page, you go 3310, you know, and... Would have been Zappy as Larry.
Yeah, what was
Snake
it?
All summer.
1993.
Yeah, it would have been, my dad had like a mobile phone around then, and it was a proper brick.
Oh, I didn't. There were no mobile phones in my family. The first ones were like the earliest Nokias maybe, but that we never had the full brick. Like,
yeah, my dad's one was literally like, do you know the ones that you see in like 80s films?
Yeah.
It was like, it wasn't that, but it was around that like size, just a little bit slimmer, and it was grey, and all it had was just a keypad just to type in numbers.
Yeah.
And a huge fucking aerial as well. God, my dad thought he was so cool.
Right, so Harry's looking out the window and he sees a strange formation in the sky heading towards him.
Yes.
It gets closer and closer and he's sort of thinking, what the fuck is that? And it turns out to be a total of three owls, two of them holding up one that seems to have like passed out, and they all just sort of fly into his room, land on his bed or whatever, and one of them just tumbles down all passed out and shit, and it turns out to be Errol, the Weasley's owl. And I just thought, like, I can't believe they're still sending Errol on.
It's a bit atrocious, isn't it?
It is.
I can't imagine owls are that expensive.
I mean, they buy Percy a new one.
Yeah, why didn't they just make soup out of Errol and just use Percy's?
Make soup out of Errol. I was thinking just like retire Errol and just let him live comfortably for the rest of his days.
Mom, what's for dinner tonight? Oh, we have soup. Everyone just like sits down and like Ron starts eating and like two eyeballs just like pop up. And Molly's
two
just
massive
sitting there.
Owl eyeballs.
Yeah. Molly's just sitting there looking at him like, go on, eat it. And look at me whilst you do.
He was no use to us anymore. I also thought that Errol, I reckon Errol is like the Neville of the owl world.
I imagined him as like the Professor Binns of the owl world. Yeah. I feel like Pigwidgeon is the Neville of the owl world.
Oh, maybe. He's more like the Colin Creevy of the owl world.
I guess so, yeah.
Just hyperactive and jumping around.
I have a...
Errol's got like the slapstick element.
Yeah, like this is a point I thought later, I wrote for later on when it occurred to me, but I'll say it now because we're talking about owls. But like, are wizarding owls magic owls? Or are they regular owls that, because they're wizards, they somehow have an affinity with?
I think, it's not stated that they're magic owls, that there's anything actually special about the owls themselves, that they're different from just normal owls.
Yeah.
And so this is just me kind of reckoning stuff, but I reckon that wizards, just by nature, by virtue of them being wizards, can have that sort of magical affinity with owls,
right,
that allows them to sort of semi-communicate and, like...
Do you know, I think, now you said that, I think you're right, because at one point in the books, Sirius sends a parrot from where he's staying to deliver a letter to Harry. So it must be like a birds thing, that wizards can just instruct birds.
Yeah, I mean, is it all birds then?
I don't know. Maybe different, like, countries sort of have grown up sort of using, like, different animals.
Well, I suppose owls aren't necessarily native to, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
So places where there aren't owls, they would have had to use other birds.
Yeah, it's whatever, like, yeah, whatever bird is, like, can carry shit, I guess. So maybe American wizards send bald eagles.
Yeah. There's no owls in America. I say that. There might not be. I don't know.
Imagine if a native bird was, like, an albatross. It's like, fucking hell, it won't fit in the house. Yeah. Forget it, I'll just use Royal Mail.
Yeah.
3 wigs? No, thank you.
But yeah, I think there's maybe just... Maybe owls are magical creatures.
Ah, that's a good point. But then that means that parrots would have to be as well then.
Yeah, maybe. But they're so like... subtle. It's like a very discreet magic that muggles aren't going to detect, because muggles aren't magical, so they're not going to have that connection with them. But
yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'd love to see like other regular animals used in such a way in the books, like if it was like a thing that you could sort of do that, and then the ability to talk to snakes is like extra special because everyone thought that snakes were like impossible to communicate with.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if they do. I'm not sure they do.
They sort of like the thestrals, they can tell to go places, but obviously thestrals are magic. Crookshanks is a kneasel or a kneasel. I don't think we run into any other like regular animals.
No, not really. Other than like, well, scabbers, but that's not really an animal. And then
Neville's
Trevor.
Got a toad, But he doesn't do anything.
Other than run away from Neville, which is probably a sensible choice.
He's like, I want to live past my third birthday, thanks. Yeah.
So this delivery is...
Is it birthday cards?
Yeah, Harry's first sort of real birthday presents.
I'm amazed that Hagrid didn't give him a card with the cake in book one.
Yeah, well, he was there in person, wasn't he?
Maybe that much spelling was just too much for Hagrid.
Yeah.
He was like, happy birthday. Oh, I can't do it. He just tore it up and ate everything. Yeah, I thought that was really sweet. Like, a lot about this chapter, like, touched me.
Where did it touch you? Show us on the door where the chapter touched you.
Ew, paper cuts. Yeah, and he gets the Daily Prophet as well, right? Oh, no, he doesn't. He gets a photo from Ron.
Yeah, he gets a clipping of the Daily Prophet.
Yeah, and it's of the Weasleys abroad in Egypt.
Again.
Again.
Because they've won...
700 galleons.
Yeah, which is a
Arthur's
lot.
Arthur's work, right? The fucking twins take 1,000 galleons... And spend some of that to buy a shop in fucking, where is it? In Diagon Alley, right?
Which is prime real estate.
Right?
Like, it's where all wizards go.
And it's a fucking, like, 3-story shop as well.
Yeah.
And they spend 700 galleons on a fucking holiday. Yeah. Like.
They lived like kings for that holiday.
They better have lived like pharaohs, Tom, right? Because that is ridiculous. That could have fucking literally, like, set them, I reckon, for life if they lived as meagerly as they do now.
Yeah.
And I get everyone needs a holiday, totally, but they should have just gone to fucking Benidorm. Like, they don't need to have this, like, 5-star first-class carpet trip to Egypt.
I mean, like, their trips to Egypt can't cost that much because they've done them, like, twice before already.
And I reckon, like, so they must, obviously they took everyone this time, so obviously that was some expense.
A little more,
but
still,
they must have stayed in really expensive accommodations.
Yeah, but it can't, I mean, they must have had some left over.
I just don't reckon so, because they're still, like, equally poor afterwards, aren't
they? They're still poor afterwards, yeah.
They don't buy anything sort of special.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it can't, it's ridiculous. It must just an inconsistency in amounts of money.
Yeah, I reckon they should have won 100 galleons and they spent that on a holiday. That would have made more sense.
That would make a lot more sense.
But, you know.
Even that seems, if they spent some of 1,000 galleons on a shop, then 700 galleons, I don't know how you can spend that just on a holiday.
Maybe Mrs. Weasley just said they spent that much and she just like pocketed
just
the rest.
Hoarding the rest of it in a little dragon cage. that's what Arthur calls it.
And he just shrinks down and ventures inside like, well, it's amazing what these muggles can do, isn't it?
That's their kink. He shrinks down and climbs inside and goes on just on a treasure
excavations
hunt.
Excavations through Molly Weasley.
Searching for the gold she's stuffed up there. And trying to avoid the dragons.
Oh, God, what a treasure hunt. Bloody hell.
Jesus Christ.
He thinks Hermione's sent him some shitty book, but it turns out to be a Quidditch... Is it a Quidditch book or the broom cleaning kit?
It is a broom cleaning... It's a broomstick servicing kit.
That's it.
Which he's chuffed with. And Ron sends him a pocket sneaker scope.
Which is also awesome.
Is it like if anyone untrustworthy is nearby, it starts whirring and stuff?
Yeah, I think if anyone is like is either done something that you should know about or is a threat to you, it goes off.
So yeah.
I think it's like a spinning top that goes like, woo! When it like...
Yeah, and they say Percy thinks it's faulty because it kept going off during dinner, but Fred and George had done something dastardly that he didn't know about.
Shit in his soup or something.
I think that was it, yeah.
It was a bit early in the year for Yule log, but yeah. Okay. it's a bit nutty, isn't it? Yeah, and he gets something from Hagrid.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it's a book.
It's another burden
book
on Harry's
monsters.
Life.
Yeah. On every fuck. Literally, if that was me and that was on like my textbook list and I saw it, I'd be like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
Is there an ebook version of this? I'm not buying this.
Can I get the Kindle version?
Yeah. Oh, God. It's just... Also, why would you make a book like that?
Yeah.
Like, it's not fun. That's some fucking twat who's like, I bet kids will love this as they lose their fingers.
Yeah. And then when they eventually, like, ask Hagrid about it, he's like, well, you just got to stroke it, obviously.
Do you think Hagrid wrote it?
I mean...
Maybe he was, like, raising these, like, furry creatures over the summer and then just fucking, like, bash them in with, like, a seal club and, like cover the book in... Oh, God.
They open it, it's all just incomprehensible, like, toddler writing.
In like a broken crayon.
Yeah.
We like dragons. They're big and they were my friend. Don't tickle them. Wow, I'm sure this will help me pass my owl.
Yeah, thanks Hagrid.
And he also gets from Hogwarts, he gets a permission slip.
Yeah, because third years get to visit the village of Hogsmeade.
Yeah.
Which sounds quite cool, actually. I would like to visit Hogsmeade.
Well, if you go to Orlando, you will.
Oh.
And I have, and it's awesome. Because all the houses have, like, fake snow on top. It's really, and they're all, like, crooked and shit. It's dope.
Oh, man. You get to experience snow while the weather's warm.
Yeah. And you proper, like, you walk in, and it's the proper village. And at the back of the village, you see Hogwarts in the distance on top of, like, these sort of, like, rockets on in the film. And it's all, like, perspective trickery, so it looks fucking massive. And that's where, like, the ride, the main ride in Hogsmeade is. And it's... I need to stop, because I could talk about this for fucking hours. It's, like, the most magical place in the whole world. And they've got, like, Honeydukes there and Zonkos. They've got a branch of Ollivanders there as well. Oh, yeah. It's incredible. And then you go into the bathrooms to, like, pee and stuff, and you hear Moaning Myrtle in the bathrooms. Yeah, it's really good.
You go in the bathrooms to pee, you say?
Yes, why? Should I be doing something else? I'm going to pee, poo, kill things, and occasionally to ejaculate.
When the excitement gets too much.
When Myrtle does that special yawn, yeah. I'm just like... So yeah, and that's kind of it for this chapter, and it wraps up with Harry saying, like, oh, I can't remember the whole sentence, but it's like blah blah blah,
he went to sleep that night,
yeah, glad for the first, no, like, and just like everyone else, glad for the first time that it was his birthday.
Yeah.
And that, and I'm not even kidding when I say this, when I listened to that, I legit shed like a tear because I thought it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
I was so happy for him. Yeah.
Yeah, you messaged me when you were saying, just finished chapter one. I like, just crying at the end of chapter one. And I couldn't remember what happened. I was like, what? Owl post?
Does that thing, Hedwig, looks so beautiful?
The way she carries Errol because he can't fly.
It was like they'd fought in Nam together, and she was helping him go. She was like, I'm not going to leave you. Yeah, that's it. And then it's chapter dos.
Yes.
Aunt Marge's big mistake.
Aunt Marge's big mistake.
So yeah, Harry goes downstairs and the news is on TV and they're talking about the escape of the convict Sirius Black. And if anyone sees him, they should not approach him but call the police straight away.
Yeah.
He's armed and dangerous.
Armed and dangerous.
And Verna's like, oh, of course he is. Look at him with that scruffy hair and sallow skin and swastika in the middle of his forehead.
Yeah. It's a feature of Sirius that often gets overlooked. Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm looking at a picture of Charles Manson. Yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, at the end of the news report, Vernon's like, they haven't even told us where he escaped from. Bloody lunatic could be walking down the street at this moment.
I mean, what's he scared of?
Also, do you armed, ever... raving lunatic.
Have we ever had like a news report of someone who's escaped from prison?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's really a thing, right?
No.
Unless it was like proper like local, like you lived in a town where there was a prison. So maybe it might be on like local news, like this person has escaped, they are most likely in the area, don't approach them.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't recall it. I say that, I don't watch the news.
Yeah, and I guess it's quite rare that people escape from prison.
I would imagine so. I've never been in prison, but I imagine it's you can't just walk out, is my understanding.
Yeah, I just need to make a telephone call. Yeah, okay.
Do you mind if I just step outside? The reception's better.
But you make sure you come back.
Okay.
They're like, Steve, where did so-and-so go? Oh, I just let him out for a bit. Steve, you're not meant to do that.
That's Steve.
He lets people out. It was not a good shout. It's Steve.
you're good at those little rhymes.
But yeah, after that, Vernon takes Harry aside, right? Because he needs to go and pick Aunt Marge up from the train station. He pulls Harry aside and he's like, look, let's go over the rules when Marge. Marty. Oh, and someone's your mother and your auntie. Oh, Jesus Christ. Marty and Funkle. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, so I've told her that you're studying at St. Brutus's... Yeah,
school
is it St. Brutus's?
For incurably insane criminal boys or something. Yeah. Not insane, but I don't know, it might be.
Bad boys, criminally insane, insane.
Yeah, and then Harry's like, what? What'd you play me like that for?
What? You must be tripping, boy. Yeah. And Vernon's like, shh, I don't want that ethnic talk in this house. Yeah, and what else does he say? There's like another bit to what he needs to remember. He's like, you need to behave yourself or something. And Harry's like, well, I will if she will.
Yeah.
I can't really remember. It's just that general kind of thing. Like, Harry says what a bitch she is. Not to Vernon. Harry's like, the narrator says what a bitch she is. And that's kind of it. And then...
yeah, which she is.
She's... like the act, and she's so much worse in the book than she's in the film. Because I hadn't read the book, I listened to the book in a little while, so I'd forgotten what a.
And like, the reason the Dursleys are so horrible to him is because they're trying to squash the magic out of him. She doesn't even know about the magic. I guess it's just from what the Dursleys have told her about him that she immediately just.
Yeah, I put that Uncle Vernon must have such a godless family because even the stuff that Aunt Marge says when she arrives is so like there's just no compassion or empathy there at all. They're like really awful people, and I imagine that all of Vernon's family is like this. And I just thought, God, what that must have been such an atrocious like environment to grow up in. Oh, seriously, it's actually quite like troubling in a way. I thought I can't imagine what like their parents were like. You know, it was bizarre. I thought,
yeah, it's very strange. But I just found it weird that she is such a horrible bitch to Harry.
Yeah,
and you know, loves Dudley and everything, and is such a horrible bitch to Harry in the way the Dursleys are. But she doesn't even know about the magic thing.
Yeah, I feel because obviously Vernon must have said they're looking after a boy. I feel like just straight away. Way they would have said, because she probably knows that they don't speak to Petunia's side of the family.
Yeah, they would have just been like, he's no good.
Yeah, she would have just assumed straight away, I reckon.
Yeah.
But yeah, Harry's like, okay, well, I tell you what, I'll be really good if you sign this Hogsmeade permission slip for me.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I'm not signing that. And he's like, well, you mean I never know what I might let slip. And I love that he fucking blackmails Vernon. It's great. It's like, fucking yes, Harry. You fucking get your own back on them. They're horrible.
I sort of thought that, I mean, I just wondered why you wouldn't have attempted to forge the signature straight away.
Yeah.
At least, you know, because I remember in high school, we used to have a homework diary where you'd write down your lessons, right?
Yeah,
your
homework
from lessons.
Me too, yeah.
And then your parents were meant to sign it. So I remember I went through the entire, like, year's worth of pages and just forged my dad's signature, because you would get a detention if it wasn't signed for the week. And why wouldn't Harry just sort of come to that conclusion first? Because even if it was an enchanting bit of paper that, say, you've done it and then it faded straight away, at least he tried. I can't believe he didn't try. That was really beyond me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because I would have done. I wouldn't have even thought of asking the Dursleys first.
Yeah, forging does seem like the better option, doesn't
yeah.
it? Although I'm sure there are like spells that can detect forgeries. I don't know if they would have had one on that.
Yeah,
but, like...
I mean, I think for a more serious thing, obviously it would have. But I reckon that for this, it's quite minor, isn't it? So I reckon there wouldn't have been.
Probably not.
But I still would have tried it. Because what the worst that would have happened is, I reckon, is it would have just disappeared off the page. And he would have been like, ugh. Because that would have made more sense if it was like Harry, knowing what the Dursleys were like, tried to forge the signature himself. As soon as he finished writing Vernon Dursley, it disappeared into the page. Oh, well, Harry thought, guess I'll have to ask then.
Yeah, that would have been good, actually.
Yeah, see?
But then forging, you know, there's this fucking whole honesty, honourability thing that, like, and I mean...
I feel like Harry's not above that, though.
Yeah.
It's so minor and no one's getting hurt. And I reckon the only reason they didn't, like, forge the slip for the book they needed in Chamber of Secrets is maybe because it would have been caught out. I reckon Madame Pince would have been like, this looks fishy to me.
Yeah.
You know? I reckon maybe that's why. Anyway. So, yeah, that Vernon agrees to it. He's like, fine. You be on your best behaviour and I'll sign your bloody form. And Harry's all chuffed with that. So he sends Errol and Hedwig to go and stay with Ron while Marge is there, because he's like, Errol, like... Hedwig, you're not going to be able to make noise and stuff. You're not going to be able to go flying while Aunt Marge is here. You'd be better off staying with Ron.
Yep.
So he sends her away. That's when I thought, huh, are these owls like magic then? Because, you know, and yeah, she's there for like a week, isn't she? Or is it 2 weeks? I think it's only 1 week she's there for, but it's a long fucking week.
I think it is a week. And so, yeah, I just don't think the dates add up. Because what date is Harry's birthday? Do we know?
31st of July.
So then the next morning, 1st of August.
Yeah.
Vernon goes to pick up Marge. She's there for a week till the 7th or 8th of August.
Yeah.
And then on that night, he arrives at the Leaky Cauldron and says he has 2 whole weeks until the 1st of September.
Well, maybe she is there for 2 weeks then.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, she must be there for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And straight away, because, oh God, this really awful thing. So she has dogs, she has bulldogs. Some are left at home with her minder, I guess.
With
I
her think. Fucking cuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever fucking Colonel Fubster is, yeah. or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, he must be her groundskeeper slash imagine... like reluctant lover.
Yeah, he's like just like tiny little man who she also keeps on a leash.
Yeah, like literally, you know.
Yeah, and just sits on a throne with like a cat of nine tails.
She just sits like a massive like Chesterfield armchair in front of the fireplace.
Yeah, and
she's
just
always wearing like breeches and like riding boots.
And Colonel Fubster is not his name. That's
his
just
name's
what
probably Colin.
Yeah. she's just created a character for him called Colonel Fubster.
She literally dresses him up like Colonel Sanders. She's like, oh, I've got something for you that's finger licking good. And he's like, please, no.
Fub me, Fubster.
Yeah, fub me in my fub hole. And he's like, I'd really rather not, thanks. I've got gardens attendant. You've got my garden attendant. Bring the shears. Oh god.
And she's just constantly just getting him to feed all the dogs. Just but they've just eaten my feed them again.
Oh god, he just goes to bed at night crying. And for what?
Yeah. He can't escape though.
No, he can't. She must have something on him that she's
got
like,
him chipped.
Try and go. If you cross the boundaries, your brain will explode.
Yeah, she's got one of those ankle tags on him.
Yeah. Oh, God. Poor Fubster.
But he must be having the time of his life now she's away for a week.
Yeah, but she goes back and all the dogs are dead.
Yeah, I bet he's abusing the shit out of those dogs.
She fucking says that, because she says that Harry looks like a little runt because he's so skinny. And she's like, we had a runt in the litter of puppies that we had. Got Fubby to drown it for me. Horrible little thing. And I was like, that's really fucking bleak.
Yeah.
And you got to just drown your fucking, like, puppy because it was small.
Yeah, she really is, like, the worst person,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah. So, yeah, she's shitty to Harry this entire... No, she's not, sorry. She is when she arrives, and then he kind of avoids her for the rest of the time she's there. She doesn't really, like, notice him very much. And then his final
although it does
comes.
Say that she... usually Harry would like to just stay out of the way and be up in his room, but she likes to have him in her sight a lot of the time so she could call out criticisms and ways he can be improved. So he has to spend a lot of the time just gritting his teeth, and he spends a lot of time just like he just drifts off.
He zones out to think about
the broom stare. Broomstick care kit or whatever it is.
Broomstair care kit. How to make your staircase lovely.
How to broom your stairs.
Wow, thanks, Hermione.
Yeah. did you notice that even in the letter Hermione writes to Harry where she explains, like, oh, I haven't tried calling him because this, hope you're having a happy birthday and everything, she still manages to, like, boast about the length of the essay she's written.
Oh, God, yeah, she, like, wrote an extra 3 sides of parchment or something, right? Or 3 rolls of parchment.
Yeah, she's like, I rewrote my whole History of Magic essay after reading something. I hope it's not too long. It's 2 more rolls, extra rolls of parchment than Professor Binns asked for. It's like, you just had to fucking include that, didn't
you? Yeah, like, what are you, like, he's not impressed.
Yeah.
No one is. It's why you've never had friends. Yeah. God's sake. And also, teachers hate that shit.
Yeah, you know they do.
I used to be that kid who would overwrite my English essays.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I never was.
I used to fucking think the teachers would just suck my dick if I wrote more. And when you get older, you know that... Like
when they're going through marking everything.
Yeah.
They get to one that's double the length they asked for and just go, ugh.
Fuck. Yeah, because when you get into uni, one of the first things they said was, you need to learn how to be concise, because you need to learn how to cut things down as much as possible and keep it still, impactful. And so they want things to be short or, exactly to the word count so they can get through everything. But I want fucking 3 extra rolls of parchment.
Yeah.
But maybe Binns would love that. I mean, he is Professor Binns.
Yeah, it is literally his unlife teaching that class.
Yeah, what does he do all summer?
I mean... probably still just turns up to the classroom and reads to an empty room.
You're probably right. Oh, what a hellish existence.
Yeah.
Do you think him and Myrtle just get it on over the summer?
Every now and then he joins in with Myrtle and Nearly Headless Nick's games.
Oh, God.
He's not quite as... No, but let's not. Let's not go back there.
Well, I'm not a scat man myself, but, you know... Be ba 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 da bop. You know that jazz. So yeah, we get to the final night and they're having dinner and Harry's in the kitchen, I think. And Marge is getting really tipsy. Like she's had a lot of wine and some gin. And they start talking about Harry's parents.
Yeah, and she's all like, you mustn't blame yourself, Vernon and Petunia. I see it all the time in dogs. It's wrong with the mother. If there's something wrong with the bitch, there'll be something wrong with the pup.
Yeah.
And et cetera, et cetera. And she's just fully, going off on how Harry's parents were lazy.
Do you think
Debbie
young
layabouts?
Kids read that she said bitch.
Yeah.
Something you open up a dictionary when you're 9 and go to where it said sex and be like,
yeah.
Harry does something first. It's not the main thing he does. He has a little...
She's drinking from a glass and the glass explodes in her hand. And she's like, oh, no, not to worry. I have a very firm grip.
And she says, don't worry, it happened with us something just last week.
Yeah.
What? Do you remember what it was? Because afterwards I thought, did she say a guinea pig or something like that?
No, I
was
thought
an animal,
she said
or it. Just another glass?
No, I think she said the same thing happened at Colonel Fubster's last week.
Oh, maybe. Because I was on the train when I was listening to it. And I couldn't hear what she said. And I was like, I hope she didn't fucking squeeze a guinea pig into it. Yeah. It fucking exploded. Fucking hell. Yeah, and then she's like, because she's like, what did his father do? And then Vernon's like, oh, he was unemployed.
Thought so.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I thought so. Probably something. And then it's like, yeah, see, and then she says something to him, and then she's like, your parents went and got themselves killed in a car crash, probably drunk, and you'll probably end up the same way or something like that.
Yeah, and Harry's like, they did not die in a car crash.
Yeah, and then she's like, yes, they did.
You filthy little liar.
Yes.
And then
I know everything about car crashes.
Yeah.
I watch them frequently. I make fubs so just cut the brakes.
Yeah.
I sit on the side in a lawn chair and binoculars.
I make fubs to watch through his tears.
Put peanut butter on my crotch, get my favorite bulldog, and off we go. Off to the races.
Vernon and Petunia just sat there like, ah. Petunia's covering Dudley's ears.
Oh my god.
And then she cuts off very quickly. And starts to go very red in the face and starts to look like she's swelling up, and then buttons start popping off her suit.
Yeah.
And she just blows up like a balloon.
Yeah.
And begins to float up, and yeah, Vernon tries to grab her, and it's all very calamitous. And then Vernon like rounds on Harry. No, that's it. Harry runs.
Goes and gets his trunk and runs stuff.
Away. Oh, yeah. And the way he's been managing to do his homework all summer is that he's at the first opportunity of when the Dursleys were out, Harry picked the lock on the cupboard under the stairs and got his stuff.
Yeah.
People can't just pick locks.
I think he must have just really observed what Fred and George did.
Maybe, but it is not hard, it's not an easy thing to do. I've been watching YouTube tutorials on it since...
Fucking hell.
Just since this, because I'm like, how easy is it to pick a lock?
It's not easy at all. You've got to like compress certain levers and turn other ones simultaneously and stuff.
It's like people can't, you can't just pick
you need
a lock.
Like three ideally, right, to pick a lock.
Yeah, there's different tools, but I'm just like, I mean, I guess I buy that Fred and George can do it because they're that kind of mischievous, and like maybe Harry could have learned off of them, but it's not like Harry had YouTube tutorials to watch.
That's very true. I imagine it was a normal padlock that was on the door. Yes, how did he prize it open?
Yeah, it's weird, but yeah, so he gets the stuff out of the cupboard, and so he just, but yeah.
That's it, as he approaches the cupboard, it opens by itself, because
yeah,
his magic
time.
Is like...
Now, he's all like
I thought
pumped
that was
up,
cool.
And he runs to the cupboard, and the cupboard just bursts open, it's like, yeah. He grabs all his shit, grabs his trunk, Hedwig's cage, his broomstick... and starts making for the door, and Vernon like rounds on him like, where do you think you're going? And Harry like pulls his wand on him, which is amazing. I'm just like, fuck yes. Fuck
that
yes, Harry.
Cool. I would have loved it if he pulled his wand and then like the lights started to like flicker.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to say anything. Vernon just like backed off.
Yeah.
And then the front door just like burst, like, completely blew off its hinges. That'd be cool. Yeah, then he just escapes out into the night.
So yeah, that brings us to chapter 3, the night bus.
All aboard!
The night bus. It's a night bus theme tune for you there, performed by Gifton.
Do you not remember that song though?
No.
Of a night train. It's like, all aboard the night train.
I know the Guns N' Roses song Night Train. It doesn't go like that.
I know one Guns N' Roses song.
It's a Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh, I know two Guns N' Roses songs.
Welcome to the Jungle, Paradise City.
I know three Guns N' Roses songs. I don't know Paradise City. Now, what's
you
the
would
one?
Do.
Maybe. No, what? It's the one where they get married in the video.
Oh, November Rain.
Yeah, I know that one.
Nice.
His bride has such like a hooker dress on.
Yeah, I know.
But she was a supermodel, I guess. Even so, I wouldn't marry a woman who wore that to my wedding. I'd be like, you're clearly a scarlet woman. Just throw fucking red paint on her. That's better.
Now we can get married.
I just want everyone else to know. So he gets out into the night.
Yeah, and by the time he gets a few streets down, he's like panting and out of breath from all of this.
But
shit.
I did like that he sort of does contemplate properly what he's actually going to do. He's like, maybe I could like just risk them like the how I'm not allowed to do magic and enchant my suitcase to be featherlight and then
yeah, because he's like, because he had that warning in a previous book,
yeah,
and he's like, and I've clearly just done magic again,
yeah,
so I'm probably expelled, so let's just fucking make the best of it.
Yeah, he wants to fly to Gringotts, get out the rest of his money, just
yeah, he's like,
living.
I can do the featherlight charm on my trunk and stuff, put the invisibility cloak over myself, fly to Gringotts, get the rest of the money, and start his life as a like fugitive on the run. And he's like, Jesus, oh God. And he gets a little bit upset at that idea, but like, either that or what?
Yeah.
I mean, does he really think he's going to like go to Azkaban though?
I guess.
He's not going to need to be like, he doesn't necessarily need to live as a fugitive. He's just because he gets expelled.
But they would break his wand, because that's like standard practice, I guess.
Oh, I suppose.
But he could just get a new one.
Although apparently, I mean, you'd have thought Hagrid would just get a new one, but apparently they're just not allowed.
I mean, like, if he just like flew to a different country, if he flew to Grigorovich, I'm sure he would have made him one.
Yeah.
He could have just gone to a fucking like muggle magic shop. I'm saying he's forgetting that like wands, like ornate wands, weren't properly a thing before Harry Potter, that you could buy in like a shop in like Leicester Square, say.
Well, they're the classic, like they're a black thin stick with white tips.
Yeah, maybe he could have just done that. Bunch of flowers.
See this top hat? It's completely empty.
Put my arm inside. Oh, yeah. Pulls it out again. He's just like a bloody like mush of fur. He's like, oh yeah.
Oh, the fox I use in my next trick must have.
Then he goes to pull the scarves out of his mouth. He's like, oh, I swallowed by accident. It's okay. It'll be just as impressive coming out the other end.
So yeah, Harry's contemplating his life in that line of work, and he. And then he sort of feels like he's being watched, turns around and can kind of make out like a dark shape.
And then he does Lumos.
And then he does Lumos and lights it up and sees a dog.
No, he doesn't see a dog. He sees a black shape with a hulking thing with gleaming eyes. Because I automatically wrote dog because I can only imagine the film scene. And so I just imagined he saw like the dog straight away, but he doesn't see it as a dog. He sees large thing.
Sure, because when the night bus arrives and Stan asks him what you looking at, he says over there it was big. He says it's like a dog but bigger.
Yeah, but he doesn't say it was a dog. He says he just sees like a hulking black thing with gleaming eyes.
But then he describes it as a dog in like a few sentences later.
I mean, he says it was like a dog, I guess.
Yeah, but bigger. Anyway, that's what he sees.
Semantics.
And he's like, oh, what shit, the fuck?
I would cack myself if I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
And then there's a, like, deafening bang.
Do you think if you stuck your Lumos wand up your bum, like, the light would just shine out your mouth?
Oh, God. No. I mean, to be fair, we could try the same thing with a torch.
Yeah, I feel like magic light might be a bit, like, you know...
Travel around corners. He's got to work all the way around the colon.
I guess he would glow up inside, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
If the light was bright enough.
But it wouldn't...
Lumos Maximo.
It couldn't come out of your mouth.
No, I reckon you'd see like a Ready Brett glow in his belly.
Yeah. Ready Brett glow.
Things you can do with a wand, eh?
Again, yeah, you could probably do the same with a powerful torch.
I guess it would get hot, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably.
People do put torches out their bum, though.
Do they?
Do you know, apparently a lot of the things, you know, when like doctors have horror stories of weird things they've removed from people's rectums.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like the main sort of the reason why that tends to happen is that people will like insert an object and then it'll get to a certain point and they'll like, as like a reflex action, their body will like tense and their sphincter will like suck it in further than they meant to. So it would go like,
yeah.
And then that's how it gets like lost in their like bowels. So they're like, oh, fuck.
And they can't just poop it out.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I guess you couldn't.
I mean, apparently not. Yeah. I mean, if you that's the first thing you'd try.
Maybe just make some laxative tea.
Yeah.
Poop out this can of deodorant. Oh, God. Yeah, never insert anything if you can't see where it keeps its brain. Oh, God. So, yeah, Harry falls back from the shock of seeing the theme. The bang happens.
Yeah, the night bus pulls up. And I thought, people must accidentally summon the night bus all the fucking time. Because you just got to hold up your Lumos wand in exactly the way you would to see something better at night. Because that's what Harry does. And then, like, bang. Oh, shit. No, there's the bus. No. Like, they must arrive all the time. And it's just somebody trying to see something in the dark.
Yeah, you're so right. Like... Because what is the bang? Is that his wand doing something?
No, it's the bus.
Just appearing?
Yeah, it teleports, like hundreds of miles at a time.
Oh, I've got a question about that in a minute.
Yeah, I know, I'm not really sure what the deal is with that, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that is bizarre. Do you think maybe Harry had the thought of like, oh, I need to get out of here, and it sort of coincided.
Maybe that feeling of needing to get somewhere transmitted through through him, maybe.
But it's weird how you would summon that. Yeah, it's very bizarre. You're right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Because that is, if you needed to see something in the dark out in the street, Lumos your wand and hold it out in front of you to see what's there. That's exactly what you would do, and that's exactly what you do to summon the night bus. Maybe you just need to also have the desire to need to get somewhere far away fast and not be able to apparate.
It must be something like that, yeah. Because otherwise it is a bit weird. Very weird, actually. But yeah, so the night bus appears.
And I'm surprised Stephen Fry doesn't pronounce it the Knight bus.
Right. I mean, actually, no, I'm not, because it is, I think the play on words there is super obvious, right?
Well, not if you just hear it, the night bus.
Well, yeah, but it's like, it's obviously meant to sound like night bus.
Yeah, yeah, so sure. And when you see it written down, you're like, oh yeah, okay. But when you hear it read out, it's like you would never assume that there's a K there.
Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry. So like how he did with mosty potency potions.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, actually.
Because, unless you see it written down.
Because it doesn't translate at all.
No, you would never know that there's a K.
Wow. That's never occurred to me before.
Mind blown.
Because imagine if you'd only heard this through the audiobook, you wouldn't understand what the pun... There wouldn't be a pun at all.
No, it would just be a night bus.
What else could they have called it for the audiobook that would have had, like, a cool little double meaning?
The purple bus. That's not a double meaning. The triple-decker purple teleport bus. Does the night bus only operate at night?
No, because they get it in the day in book 5.
And what does it have to do with knights? Like, K knights?
Nothing at all.
It's not really a very good pun, is it? Not really a very good play on words.
Yeah, you're right, because it...
Because it doesn't operate only at night, and it's got nothing to do with knights like Lancelot knights.
Yeah, you're so right, actually. It should be like this like massive like medieval looking bus that's like covered in like chainmail or something.
Like
and
Warhorse
the conductor
armor
is like a suit of armour.
Yeah.
That'd have been cool.
That would have been awesome.
Also, it bothers me, so when you go to the Harry Potter studios, you have to get a shuttle bus there that costs £2.50. I'm like, just make it fucking free. You're getting enough money for us buying a ticket to the exhibition.
Or make it the night bus.
This is it, exactly. So they have a double-decker bus that is covered in, like, Harry Potter, like, print.
Mm.
But I thought, why wouldn't you just make it purple and call it the night bus?
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no good reason why they couldn't have done that, I don't feel. So, yeah, he gets in the bus and Stan Shumpike is the conductor. Stan Shumpike's a proper geezer.
Yeah, proper geezer. He does all the, welcome aboard the night bus... blah, 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 all his, like, spiel, and then he sees him on the floor and goes, drops his, like, customer service facade.
What you
doing down there, then? He's like, I fell over. What you fall over for? I just thought, what a prick.
The guy in the film, he does it well, but it's annoying. He goes, what you doing down there, then? The Harry's like, he's fell over. And then he's like, well, get on up, then. And it's like...
I feel like I remember this bit in the film vaguely. And I remember thinking that the actor who does that is pretty good.
Yeah, he's good. It's just, it's very pantomimed, you know.
Mm.
But I mean, you know, whatever gets you paid, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he sees the scar on Harry's head.
Yeah.
And goes, he's like, oh.
And immediately goes, what's that on your head?
And Harry's like,
that's so rude.
He is, isn't it? Yeah. What's that on your head? Oh, it's my dead twin. Oh, all right.
Yeah. Oh, it's the scar from... the attack that killed my parents and nearly killed me. Thanks for asking.
So yeah, he says, sounds like, what's your name? And had the first name Harry could think of is Neville Longbottom.
Yep.
So he says, I'm Neville Longbottom. And it just occurred to me that Neville's last name is Longbottom. I'd never thought of it before.
I think it's a great name for Neville.
It really is. Oh God, I hope that Longbottom is not a real life, like, family name.
No, I'm sure it is, yeah.
Why?
I'm sure I've heard it before.
How would you get that? What trade led to you inheriting that name? Like, for real?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Yeah, my great-great auntie was the best whore in Texas. Yeah. They called her Long Bottom. Because once she was inside, you never hit the back wall. So, yeah, he gets on and they take off. And I'm really curious as to how the night bus works, because it seems to, like, instantaneously, like, stop for you if you summon it and jump all over the country. So I'm like, what if, like, a wizard summons you from a place that you've just been and are heading away from, you know?
Yeah, well, when it it goes bang really loud and jumps back to like somewhere in Wales. And Stan says, this is where we were before you flagged us down. So it's like they're
How'd you ever get anywhere then?
To like resuming their route. Well, my point is, if it can teleport hundreds of miles at a time, why does it drive anywhere?
That's so fucking true, yeah. Why wouldn't it just be like a Doctor Who like phone box that just pops to wherever you exactly need to go?
Yeah. I mean, it is quite fun and quirky that the driver's old and wears thick glasses and doesn't see very well and is mounting the curb and stuff jumping out of his way.
That annoyed me.
Yeah, I know.
Like, how is stuff jumping out of the way and no one's noticing? Because Harry goes, don't muggles see you? And these stands like, muggles don't see anything, do they?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they might not see a fucking like high speed bus, but they're going to fucking see a lamppost. Like,
yeah, I mean, I suppose the implication is that there's magic shrouding the whole thing. And like in the way that people don't notice when houses part for Grimmauld Place to like emerge.
I guess so. But I feel like that's very location specific. I don't like the idea of random things.
Yeah, I know. It is that, yeah, there is a bit of that. It's more of just sort of like quirky, whimsical magic happening for the sake of quirky, whimsical magic happening, but without any real sort of logic to it.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit like, eh. So, yeah, they're on the night bus and the subject of Sirius Black comes up. I feel like they start talking about, like, Voldemort and Harry Potter and stuff.
Yeah, because he says... I think Harry asks, why was he in Azkaban?
Oh, yeah, Stan tells him the whole story of...
He's a big supporter of You-Know-Who. But then he gives the paper to Harry, and Harry reads most of it in the paper, doesn't he? Or does Stan tell him?
I think Stan tells it. Okay. Tells it to him. He was a big supporter of You-Know-Who. Reckoned he was going to be second in command when You-Know-Who, like, properly reigned, rose to power.
Yeah.
After Harry Potter put paid to You-Know-Who, he went on a rampage and killed 13 muggles with one curse in a huge explosion.
Yeah, I was like, what fucking curse could kill 13 people?
It's a big old explosion-y one, I guess.
I guess maybe if he did, like, Expelliarmus at, like, a gas pipe or something.
Yeah. I mean, it was Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah. Peter cut off his finger and then blew everything up. And that's why Sirius started laughing, like, maniacally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what spell he did.
No. And in the moment of the big explosion was when he... just shoop, transform back into a rat and run away.
Yeah, and I guess he only left his clothes behind. Because don't they say at some point only his finger and something else was like his clothes were left or something?
I don't know. All I can remember is the biggest part of him they could find afterwards was a finger.
Yeah. And yeah, so Harry's like, fucking hell, that sounds fucking dark. Yeah, and he's reading the paper and then they say that, yeah, he was in Azkaban. And now that's it. And then he goes, you reckon, God, he must be quite mad now. He must have been quite mad or something. And then Ern, is like, well, if he wasn't mad then, he definitely is now, fucking all those years in Azkaban.
Yeah.
I mean, does Harry like inquire more about Azkaban or not?
No, I don't think so. It says Harry didn't know much about the wizard prison, only that whenever anyone spoke of it, it was with an air of kind of fear.
Yeah.
And Hagrid had spent 2 months there during the last term of his last year at Hogwarts, and the look of like fear in Hagrid's eyes was something he'll never forget, or something like that.
Yeah. And then Stan says, like, yeah, no one's ever escaped before.
Yeah.
So that's all quite like, ooh. And so every time the characters say Azkaban, it's Azkaban. And then when Stephen Fry says it in the narration, he says Azkaban still. And
that's,
I'm like,
weird.
Yeah, and I thought, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Yeah. Like, seriously, I just don't get it.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
Like, why would you flip between the two?
Maybe he must have just not even realised, because that's such a weird choice.
Yeah, I just can't get my head around it.
Something I find annoying about the way that Azkaban is written about in these, just in these chapters, is that Stan and Ern talk about Azkaban, and he's like, oh, them guards, them Azkaban guards, give me the collywobbles or whatever. And then later on, when Harry's talking to Cornelius Fudge, Harry asks if there's any luck with Black, and Fudge says no, but it's only a matter of time that the Azkaban guards are angrier than I've ever seen them. And they're referred to by a few different people as the Azkaban guards,
right?
And it's only because we haven't been introduced to the term Dementors yet, and it's and every other time they get referred to, people just say the Dementors, whereas here they get referred to by a few different characters as the Azkaban guards, and it's just because we want to build to that moment where a Dementor arrives on the train and we don't know what it is, and it's creepy and weird, and then
right,
which which is actually kind of annoying. Like,
yeah, you're right. That is,
yeah,
because you don't need to even mention it as command guards. You could just say like they, as like, yeah, but they are really close, yeah, to catching him.
Oh, I mean, I quite like it in the in fantasy novels. A lot of the time, terms are used and you don't know what they mean.
Yeah, because if they said dementors, I would have been like, what?
Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought.
You'd be like, well, I assume that term is going to be explained at some point.
Yeah, I assume the explanation is imminent. Yeah. You wouldn't be like...
Which it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, that is weird.
But it's like they make the characters speak differently so that a particular point of tension in the plot will work better. And it's just like, don't do that.
Don't do that, JK. yeah, that is odd.
Anyway... The night bus bangs and pops around and drops various people off in various places. Then, with a big bang, they suddenly find themselves thundering down Charing Cross Road, which, incidentally, is where Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is now, I think.
Oh, cool.
It's somewhere around Charing Cross. I think it is.
It's Shaftesbury Avenue. It's like the corner of Shaftesbury Avenue.
Yeah, on that corner, which I think is where Charing Cross Road meets it.
I think so.
But, yeah, it's somewhere around there.
Yeah. It's in London. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. And they arrive outside the Leaky Cauldron.
Yeah, because Harry wants to keep with his plan of going to Gringotts.
Yeah, he wants to just go to Diagon Alley, lay low for a couple of hours until sunrise, go to Gringotts, get a load of gold out, and then see what happens. Anyway, so Harry steps off the night bus at the Leaky Cauldron and immediately feels a hand on his shoulder and a voice that says, "There you are, Harry."
He's like, "Oh, Dumbledore, I've missed you so much."
Yeah. And Harry immediately clenches.
And his wand lights up. And Dumbledore's like, I can see you are vacuous today. No messes. Yeah, and it's Cornelius Fudge. Judge Fudge.
Waiting outside the Leaky Cauldron, and that Stan's all surprised, and he's like, "Ern, it's Neville's bloody Harry Potter, isn't he? Fucking hell."
Yeah, fucking hell, mate. You're bloody Harry Potter. And then they help him with his bags inside. Ugh, Stan says something a bit sort of like sassy. I can't think of what it is now. I'm just like, Stan, just fuck off. Like, you're just irritating me.
Yeah.
Like a yeast infection.
It's itchy, but I can't stop touching it.
That should have been a chapter title.
So yeah, Cornelius Fudge asks for like a little private room when Stan's just sort of hovering around wanting to get a look at him, because he's like famous wizard celebrity Harry Potter and the Minister for Magic. Holy shit.
Yeah.
What a night. This will be one to tell the grandkids. Fudge sits Harry down in a private thing.
Yeah.
And explains that he's relieved that he's safe given the circumstances.
Yeah.
We were worried that, oh, you know, never mind, and sort of brushes over the details, but he was very concerned for Harry's safety and relieved that he's found him. And the accidental magic reversal team has arrived at the Dursleys' house and modified Aunt Marge's memory. And they could have modified Vernon and Petunia's memory while they're at it, just to make him a little less angry at Harry.
Right.
That would have been nice.
That would have been really nice of them.
Yeah.
In fact, why didn't Dumbledore do something like that? Like, modify their minds in a way just so that they forgot about magic, or they just were nice to him?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like supposedly Dumbledore wasn't aware of quite the extent that they were going to be horrible, horrible cunts.
I guess so. And maybe he doesn't actually, because Fig only knows what she sees of Harry when she sees him, right? Yeah. So Mia maybe doesn't know. But then he does know later on. He says it in book 6. I don't know if Harry's told him what has been going on.
No, but again, I do get the impression that Dumbledore is somewhat omniscient.
Yeah, I guess he just was like, you know, character building stuff.
Yeah.
For what you've got in store for you, Harry, I want you to have great mental fortitude. And an ability to disassociate. Yeah. One thing I noticed is that Tom starts the fire without a wand.
Does he?
Yeah, he clicks at it and I wondered if Tom is not an actual wizard, if he's like a different like kind of creature.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I hope he is.
Yeah, me too.
Because that's just the kind of thing where like everyone knows old Toothless Tom, who works behind the Leaky Cauldron, and the Leaky Cauldron is one of the most famous places because it's like the entrance to Diagon Alley. And so like every wizard in the world must know this guy.
Mm.
And if he's just, not actually human, he's just a creature that like that is just there and does that and has been there for like hundreds of years.
Yeah, because he is like hunchbacked and stuff and bald and has one tooth.
Yeah.
From what I remember in the film. Yeah, so maybe he isn't just, you know, maybe he is part something else.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Maybe he's part house elf. Fucking hell. What a rotten conception that would have been, eh?
I mean, it must happen. House elves are so like obedient.
Oh god, that's so upsetting. Oh god, I can't even make a joke of it. That's how like awful it is in my mind. Oh god.
I mean, it happens with it. But somebody fucked a giant.
Well, yeah.
To get, but, I mean,
fucked is a really loose term. He clambered inside and jerked off on the walls.
Yeah. And fertilized a little batch of eggs that it yeah. found.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, so somebody did that.
I guess so.
People can fuck house elves.
Oh, God.
Assuming their genitals work in the same way.
Yeah, maybe Tom's dad was a little man, so maybe it wasn't too much of a size discrepancy.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no way he didn't, like, kill his mother when he was born, right? Baby that size coming out.
Unless it was a male house elf and a human female.
That sits better with me. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm oddly comfortable with that.
So yeah, Harry asks Fudge after his punishment. He says, am I not going to be punished? And Fudge is like, oh, don't worry about that little case of blowing up your aunt, you know.
We don't send people to Azkaban for simply blowing up their aunt.
We've all blown up our aunts from time to time, yes. Harry.
I blew up my aunt. Yeah, that's what I did. No, I mean up her. Oh, that's not what I did. Oh, really? Oh.
I did think it was an odd request.
I thought that's why we were modifying her memory. When I didn't want you to have to deal with a sexual assault case, Harry.
Yeah, and Harry is a bit like, that doesn't sit with how he's been treated by the ministry before. They've been very strict before, and yeah, something strange.
I'm glad he brought it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
Like, yeah, by all accounts, he should have been expelled.
Yeah, and he says, and... Well, he thinks, and on that train of thought, it is a bit weird for the Minister for Magic himself to come and investigate a case of underage magic.
Mm.
Something is not quite as it seems here. There is more than this that meets the eye.
If something is amiss.
Yeah.
I did kind of think that surely accidental magic just should always be exempt.
Yeah.
You know?
But then maybe there's not a way... If there's not a way of differentiating between when an underage wizard has cast a spell and when a house elf has done magic... There's probably not a way of differentiating between accidental and purposeful magic.
But then why would they have sent the accidental reversal squad?
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is a bit.
Maybe because a charm wasn't used, just magic occurred. So they're like, okay, this must have been accidental magic then.
Maybe. But again, I think their methods of detecting what type of magic has been used must be limited if they can't differentiate between house elf and human.
Yeah, it's all sort of fucking backwards.
It's all a bit nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so the minister's like, well, do you know what, Harry? I want you to, like, hide out here pretty much for the next, like, until we go back to school. I'll get Tom the barman to, you know, sort of, like, watch out for you and stuff.
Yes, but I would ask that you don't go out into Muggle London, Harry, and please be back in by dark, just because, you know, we don't want to lose you again, do we?
Yeah, I think that's solid advice for anyone, really.
Well, don't go out into Muggle London and be in by dark.
Yeah. Get home before sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Harry looks forward to two Dursley free weeks.
Yeah, which I'm excited for Harry.
Me too.
Because he gets to have a break, school, and just chilling out and enjoying the summer with Diagon Alley right there.
And his money right there too.
And his money right there. He's got shitloads of money.
Lived it up.
Man.
Should have bought like star-shaped sunglasses, a big fur coat. He just goes into like, is there like a name for like the jewelers in Diagon Alley?
I don't know that a jeweler's gets mentioned.
Maybe it's called like Fuzz Wumpkin's Diamond Heistery.
Heistery.
Yeah.
It's where jewel thieves come to practice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a massive diamond in the middle, and if you can steal it, you win a prize.
Yeah.
You win the diamond. Yeah, Harry goes in, buys himself a new watch, a medallion, some like diamond encrusted gun holsters. Yeah. I want that one and that one and that one.
Gets a couple of his teeth with like gold caps on them.
Custom made grills.
Yeah. The big,
and
like,
they say chosen. He's like, oh yeah, who's your daddy?
The big like pimp chalice.
Yeah. Harry looked in the mirror. Somehow he had become Lil Jon. He's like, okay. Oh god, the Dursleys definitely won't have him back now.
No,
I did think. Do you think Dumbledore gets annoyed at the fact that Harry keeps finding ways not to stay with the Dursleys during the summer?
He's like, Harry, I made that arrangement for a reason, yeah. You little prick.
Yeah, he only spends like a maximum of like 4 weeks there each year.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot. What's he fucking complaining about?
It's quite a lot if you're getting like emotionally abused each day.
But I kind of just feel like he just stays out of their way for the most part.
Yeah. So maybe it's not like quite... because he's got Hogwarts now, he knows he's going back to. It's not quite as like... just like not quite as much of a desperate situation as it was before he knew about Hogwarts.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, it's everyone needs something to look forward to, and now he has that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's only a month, really, that he ends up staying there each year.
You should just fucking get on with it.
Fucking shit.
I mean, to be fair, he does.
I mean, yeah, I don't know why we're, like, chastising him. Well, yeah, that nonsense brings us to the end of this episode.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, in the end of chapter 3, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah. And I feel like, in general, things are going to make a lot more sense from this point on. So we're going to have less pernickety shit to drill down onto, maybe.
Do you know, I would love to agree with you, but I don't think it's going to be the case.
Oh, really?
Okay, because I feel like more new elements introduced, like... I mean, as they are in any fucking book, like, new elements introduce each book. But I mean, like, sort of more, like, fantastical concepts are introduced, it, like, from now on.
Yeah.
And there's lots of, like, happenstance and... have I said that right? Happenstance?
I think either is fine. Happenstance.
Tom gave it a very, like, assured, approving look, then he's like, yeah, I will accept either.
Yeah. I think I would say happenstance.
I think I would too. Happenstance. Yeah, let's go happenstance.
But then I would say stance.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Hmm. Yeah, so I feel like these situations get more ridiculous. Not in a necessarily bad way, but they get more, like, dependent on, like, serendipity and coincidence and stuff. So I think it's all a bit... I mean, I know...
Oh, and then that... and then obviously we've got the whole thing with the time turner at the end.
Oh, God, which, mate. Oh,
even, like, the thought of getting into the details of that is just kind of making me go, oh, should we even bother?
What I think I might do...
we'll just publish an article on it and people can go and read it.
Do you know what I think I might do, even at the end of this book, I'm going to read the book of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and then I think we should do a special episode on it, because I know the time turner plays into that massively, right?
Yeah.
So I think we should do a special episode, because I'm sure there'll be lots to say. Like, I know you'll want to say stuff that you can't because of I haven't read it yet. So if we do a special, like, episode that includes spoilers, then I reckon we should talk about that.
Yeah, all right.
So yeah, well, thank you for listening, guys and gals and ghouls. yeah, join us next week for more thrilling tales. Yeah, for more tomfoolery.
And gift and foolery.
Fucking hell, well, that needs to become a thing now. So yeah, from all of us here at... from all of us here at Foolery Studios,
yeah, the full production team. See the credits in the notes.
I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.
Bye.